micro. We're at 8,000 feet. Perishing cold and I'm bored stiff. What about putting on a hot gramophone record to cheer me up?
Hello? Hello? Is this Harlem 77711?
Hello, fellas. This is Duke Ellington.
Get it. Pause. Let's get sweet and hot.
In the opinion of hot music critics, Count Basie has one of the best dance orchestras in the country.
King of the clarinet, Artie Shaw, and his orchestra making dance history in the ballroom of the Hotel Lincoln in New York City.
Every Thursday from 10 till noon, join me, your host, Charles Burnham, for Sweet and Hot, a celebration of the 78 RPM record, the three-minute masterpiece in the golden age of North American songwriting. Hot jazz, swing, and popular music from the 1920s, 30s, and 40s. That's every Thursday from 10 till noon here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Did you enjoy that blue bottle?
That's a swell record. I must get it. What's his number?
Cause you're filthy. Ooh, and you know it.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, but however you got to spend this hour with us, we are very, very, very glad to have you. I know it's been rough times out there lately with the recession and all. 800 people got laid off today from CBC Radio, CBC, and there's a lot of layoffs, a lot of unhappiness in the country. But with that, I think there's ways to still be happy, healthy and sexual and feeling really good in both your sex life, your dating life and your relationships. And tonight joining me, Ms. Caroline McGillivray on 101.9 FM CITR is dating coach Zach Broman. And I'm very, very happy to have him on. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you, Caroline.
It has been a while since we've had you on, and I'm really excited about it. We used to have you on a lot when it was Juice Box.
And yeah, it's been a couple months.
Yeah, it's good. And I think can you hear yourself in the camera? Ooh, I heard a squeak there. And are you okay? Mm-hmm. Okay, I think we're having a technical injury, and I might have to play Sexy Nurse in a moment. But I hope you're going to be all right with that. Although I don't mind playing Sexy Nurse, so it's a good chance to flirt. How's that? Testing?
It's okay, just go on.
All right. Well, I'm glad to have you back, even though I didn't mean to personally maim you in the studio with all our equipment.
Yeah, it's no problem. It's perfect.
Is that a little bit better now?
That's much better.
Okay, so no, I don't have to go and get the white cloths out and do a little bit of role-playing before we start the show?
You don't have to, no.
You don't have to, only if I want to?
That's right.
Okay, maybe I'll save it for after the show, though.
Sounds good.
Which, on that note, just because we're in a recession, it doesn't mean that we have to give up our sex and love life. And if anybody wants to call in tonight, you can give us a call at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. So, Mr. Broman, last time I saw you was on Breakfast Television, so you've been giving all sorts of advice all around the city, and I think it's great.
Yeah, thanks. Things are going really well for us. We've launched a kind of new phase of our business where we're running 3-week courses and 6-week courses and working with a lot of men.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And how's that going in general? Like, because...
It's going really well. I mean, there's definitely a need. Mm-hmm. And although I think the initial appeal for a lot of men is the fact that it helps them learn to meet and attract women, we're really focused on developing social skills, assertiveness, mm-hmm. body language, eye contact, things that are going to help in business and in all sorts of different aspects of your life.
I agree. I think that if you feel good about yourself, it shines through regardless whatever capacity it's in, mm-hmm. and especially with dating because it makes you feel more attractive and however you feel sexy, I think it's good.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you know, when you meet somebody that you're really attracted to, can be a huge, you know, it's a big experience, right? There can be a lot of anxiety involved. But if you can learn to have the social skills to manage that situation, then going for a job interview or, you know, trying to get funding or doing mm-hmm. sales is much easier.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So with the recession, with people losing their jobs and things like that, they've mentioned just the LA Times had hacked some stats in terms of Match.com and a lot of the online dating sites, just an increase in terms of people using online services. Mm-hmm. Are you finding that people are still not going out as much just with tightening pockets or maybe that's not the best way to describe it, just maybe they might be looking at online as a bit more of an option, perhaps, to meet people?
Yeah, it's hard to say. I'm mostly what I teach men is how to meet women in a daytime environment, in a bookstore or a cafe or on the street where it's mm-hmm. free. We do a little bit of, you know, sometimes we'll go to a bar or a lounge or something like that, but I see that more as a chance to interact with a number of people and practice these skills. So, I'm not an expert on this, but yeah, I think the bars and the clubs are hurting a little bit more than they used to be. But that's never been really a great way to meet somebody anyway. So I think people are actually meeting in much healthier ways now.
I think that's good, because I know with the bar, I mean, it's one of those things you can't hear anybody speak half the time. So it's, and I know myself, when I meet somebody, if somebody approaches me, say, at the coffee shop or at a bookshop, usually it's an instant thing. I decide within the first 10 seconds whether I even find them attractive. Right. But they drop out very quickly if once they open their mouth, they don't interest me whatsoever, because they can't hold a conversation.
Well, if you meet somebody in a bookstore on the street, something like that, it's, you know, it's a good story to tell your friends. It's romantic, and it sets up a context for a relationship. Meeting someone when you're really drunk in that you know, that club persona is
it creates a story, but perhaps not the type you want to tell your grandchildren.
Yeah,
later
the
on.
Story you maybe want to tell your buddies later.
Definitely. So let's talk about dating. So once you've actually got the date, and with the recession and everything. Would you say that the, I don't know what your rules are in terms of this. Actually, I do know, but I want to hear you say them anyway. In terms of for first date, what your thoughts are on that, whether guy or girl pays, and how that affects in terms of a heterosexual or homosexual relationship as well.
Well, I think first dates should be inexpensive. That's the first rule.
I agree.
And if they're inexpensive, then it doesn't matter who pays. You know, if you buy somebody a tea, you know, for $1.89, or I'm not sure what, probably $7 at Starbucks or something like that. It's not...
a bit more than that.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same kind of feeling of obligation that the person needs to reciprocate something as it does when you go out for a nice dinner. So, yeah, I always advocate that dates are inexpensive, interactive, and, you know, something where there's built-in conversation.
I agree. I do, me personally, I do think that a guy should pay for the first date. And maybe I'm a little bit more mammal or animalistic than I'd like to think of myself, because...
Mammalian?
Mammalian. I like that word. I may have to adopt that. That sounds like a Ms. Hamburg word.
It's yours.
Who's one of our friends. So I can borrow it and I can keep it.
Yeah, it's yours.
And I can use it. Okay, I might have to put that on our website then, sexyinvancity.com, which could be nice. But in regards to the mammals, they have a courtship ritual where they actually... the male will bring food to the female, their object of their desire. And I think I kind of like that. But then again, I'm also one of those girls who kind of likes the whole being clubbed on the head a little bit and dragged back to the cave. And not in a violent or evil way, but just a man taking control a little bit. After that, I think it's about conversation and having communication about, about who pays and just working through that.
Well, there are a lot of primates that do offer food in exchange for sex, and it is the male offering the offering the woman food in exchange for sex. But you know, we're in a society where food is not scarce like it is in the jungle.
That's
right?
True.
You know, you're gonna get dinner no matter what, right? You're not worried about starving. If you were concerned with starving and food was that much of a scarce commodity, you know, that kind of thing might be a lot more common. But I think now when a guy, when a man leads with that, I want to take you out to dinner in order to get to know you, it seems like a bribe. And because the woman knows that it has an agenda attached to it, she's going to feel a sense of obligation. I think a lot of women are really uncomfortable with the man paying too much for a first date.
There's a difference between too much and I guess that's what it comes down to, and what is too much.
So like
and
a bunch of bananas would be good for you? Coconut?
I don't know. I'm allergic to coconut, so maybe not, unless I want to get out of there with lots of hives all over my body.
Listeners, take note.
But in regards to, it could be as simple as a picnic, maybe, like just going somewhere, and it doesn't have to be really expensive, but just the man taking initiative of that or buying the coffee. So it's not that weird, awkward silence at the end of the day where it's and everybody's sitting there just staring at that bill, and it's just kind of the focal point of everything, and yet everybody's trying not to say anything. Those
well, a picnic is great, and it's really romantic. You know, for a first date, I think if it's somebody that you met through your social circle that you know pretty well, then that's a good first date. If it's somebody that you met, you know, often, you know, when I meet women and the way I teach men to approach women, usually the first interaction may only be 5-10 minutes. So you don't know that person that well. So committing to a picnic would be a little bit much, but it's great because it is low cost, but it's fun. And it takes you a little bit out of the everyday world, right?
Yes.
It takes you out of boring land and puts you into fun picnic land. And so I think things like that that are great, that where you can, you know, make a bit of an effort without, you know, breaking the bank.
I agree. I just don't think, in terms of going out for dinner, though, usually to me, it usually establishes in general that a guy's a little bit more serious. Where coffee, it always makes me feel like it's an online date kind of thing, where he might have five other girls lined up that day, and it's just kind of that to it. But I mean, the bottom line is, if there's attraction, it doesn't really matter what it is to me. In a lot of ways, it's either there or it's not, and as long as the communication skills are there and that person is able to be themselves, I think that's really important.
Well, it's interesting to hear you say that, because, you know, what you're saying is that you want to see that the man's more committed or more interested in mm-hmm. you, and it's not such a casual thing. Whereas that's not always appropriate. If you're just getting to know somebody, often it's too much to take them somewhere, you know, yeah, taking you to dinner, for example. And I think, you know, our culture has got men thinking that a woman's biggest fear is that the guy doesn't like her enough, right? So guys are going out of their way to say, no, I really like you. Look, I'll bring you to dinner, and I'll be on my best behavior, and I'm going to even shave and shower and dress up.
I hope they shower.
Yeah, showering's important. But the point I'm making is that the first date is just a chance to see if there's more. It doesn't have to be
the be-all
romantic.
And all.
Yeah. And I let, you know, going for a walk. IKEA is a great one. We can get into that a little bit later. Going to IKEA, we talked about that, I think,
we did.
A couple years ago.
And I like that. I think it's a great idea for first date. Going to Kids Only Market's another one where you get to go and
look. On Granville Island.
Yeah.
That's a blast.
I think it's a lot of fun, and that way you get a chance to play as well. And
exactly.
I have to say, you might spend a little bit too much money on the gator smacking when you get to hit them on the head game.
Ooh.
Or at least I do. It's very fun.
I think they have that at Science World as well.
Science World's a great place as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really awesome stuff in Vancouver.
Well, what you're saying is that it's a chance to be playful,
yes.
Right? And that's what dates should be. You know, people are always asking me, what should I talk about on the date? And it's not what you talk about. It's not the subjects that you discuss. It's
how
you interact. So, yeah, teasing, playing, you know, being a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Being playful. These are really attractive qualities, and they allow you to
be
spontaneous. And as a guy too, I want to see if the woman's going to play along, right? If she's up to that sort of thing, and if she's not, then it's not somebody that I'm necessarily interested in. So
no, that makes a lot of sense.
It's a good way of screening.
Well, screening's very important. I keep telling people that when they tell me that they've had bad dates. It's like, well, you know, you had a bad date. That's okay, because that means that you're on with the next one, because you've screened them and you just let them go.
And in your case, you got a free meal.
I suppose so. That's a very good point. I keep myself well fed.
Yeah, seeing dating as a process as opposed to...
A be-all and all.
Yeah, when you're going on a date, think of it as, a chance. You know, there's a wise man once said to me, a guy by the name of Randy Patterson. He's a local psychologist. He's done a lot of work on assertiveness. And I say this not in a pessimistic way. But what he said is that, keep in mind, he says, almost a principle of life, that most things don't work.
Okay.
Right? And again, I don't mean to be pessimistic, but most job interviews you go to, you don't get the job. Most people you go on a date with, you don't end up marrying.
That's
right?
True.
But
thank God.
But
can you imagine how many divorces that
would
be?
But you only need one, right?
Exactly.
You only need one job, and you only need one mate. So keeping that in mind, and keeping your priority being your long-term happiness over, I need to make this work with this particular person, really goes a long way.
That's true. What other kind of cool dates would you recommend for really inexpensive dates, especially with a recession right now?
I went out and bought a kite last year.
A kite?
A kite. And kite flying is so much fun. There's an area down at Kitts Beach. And it's something you can do with your friends. It's something, I think things that you do on dates are things that you would do with friends
mm-hmm.
as well, right? So that's a lot of fun, because you're working together as a team to get the kite up and running. You know, it's playful.
Yeah.
And there's something really, you know, kites have come a long way since I was 8 years old. I had no idea. They have the two strings and you can do tricks and you can fly. But you're interacting with nature.
The buck a pound, the muck again, the buck a pound is all that makes the world go round, that clinking, clanking sound can make the world go round. Money, 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 money. If you happen to be rich and you feel like a nice entertainment, you can pay for a gay escapade. If you happen to be rich and alone and you need a companion, you can ring
ting-a-ling
for the mate. If you happen to be rich and you find you are left by your lover and you moan and you groan quite a lot, you can take it on the chin, call a cab and begin to recover on your 14-carat yacht.
What?
Money makes the world go round, the world go round, the world go round. Money makes us go round, the black people's ashore on being poor.
Money, 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 money.
When you freeze in the winter and you curse to the bin that you fate. When you haven't any shoes on your feet, your coat's thin as paper and you look 30 pounds underweight. When you go to get a word of advice from the fat little pastor, he will tell you to love never more. But when hunger comes to rap, rat-a-tat, rat-a-tat, at the window. At the window.
Who's there?
Hunger.
Oh, hunger.
See how love flies out the door. Money makes a bird go around the bird, go around the bird. Money makes a bird go around the clinking, clanking sound. Money, 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 money. Get a little, money, 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 money. Mark a yen, a buck or a pound. That clinking, clanking, clunking sound is all that makes a bird go round. It makes a bird go round.
Million people across the world are hungry right now. 16,000 children die from hunger-related causes every day. On February 10th, please join us at Performance Works on Granville Island for a banquet that will bring to life the inequitable distribution of food in today's world. The banquet will feature guest speaker Dr. Shafiq Darmzu and will be complete with music, food, and a silent auction. Doors open at 6 o'clock p.m., and dinner will begin at 7 o'clock. General admission tickets cost $25, and student tickets cost $20. All proceeds will be donated to Oxfam Canada. Tickets can be purchased online at hungryforchange.eventbrite.com or outside the south entrance to the sub on February 5th, 6th, and 9th. With your help, we can make our world a better place.
Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. And we are back. And I was going to say in the box, because I'm so used to doing Juice Box, but in Sexy and Van City Radio. Mm-hmm, is
your own show. Very exciting.
It is very exciting. I'm pretty excited about it, and I'm happy to have you on the show, which is quite lovely.
It's always fun.
It is very fun. And Ms. Julia, in case any of our listeners are wondering, is going to have a baby very, very, very soon. So I'm very excited about this. And
So what they teach you on Juice Box or what they taught on Juice Box works.
It, in terms of...
she's sex. Having a baby.
Yes, that is true. We talk about sex and how to have sex and babies happen. And it's very exciting. So she's going to have a little girl, which is really good. But for those of you guys who are listening right now and joining us, we are talking about romance in the recession. And I've got Mr. Zach Broman on, which is very exciting. He's a fantastic dating coach. If you ever want to find out about that, I should let you tell me what your website is.
Socialfluency.com.
I like that.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Yeah. Very. Well, it's based on our belief that social skills are what you need to be successful attracting the opposite sex.
I think, as you're talking about in the first half, it's important to attract everything in life, whether it be career, business, friends, all mm-hmm. of that, all mm-hmm. the above, opportunity and
it's,
love.
It's really the same skills, but it is a little bit more advanced to apply it to dating. Right? That's where it's the most difficult.
Well, of course, it's yeah. because we care more and you get all the hormones involved in mm-hmm. there.
There's more anxiety, there's more pressure, and I think those two things. And there's, and our brains respond, when we're feeling, when we're in the throes of attraction, it turns off the parts of our brains that are concerned with long-term consequences. There was a study done where they had men, they do experiments where they say, you could have $10 today or $20 next week. What would you like? People have to make a choice, right? And they change the numbers and they say, okay, you have $20 now or $30 next week. And they find at what point people will defer and at what point people will want to take it. Now, they did one with men where they had on the table pictures of attractive women while they were doing this. And they found that overwhelmingly, 85% of men chose $15 today over $75 next week. Versus a control group who was not looking at attractive women who took the $75 next week. So it actually affects your brain in a different way.
That is wild.
Mm-hmm. Now, women didn't respond the same way visually, but I think they respond the same way. I don't know this for sure, but it's possible that they respond the same way when they're attracted by, a man's behavior.
That's very fascinating. Mm-hmm. I would actually like to see that study.
I will send it to you.
I would love that. That would be great. I love the fact that we're talking about all sorts of dating and really cool things. Before I forget, I should mention that at the break, we were playing Money Makes the World Ground from the musical Cabaret, mm-hmm. Which was sung by Liza Minnelli and Joel Grey, which I thought was kind of appropriate. Mm-hmm. I was looking for the song We Want Money, That's What I Want from the 80s, but I couldn't remember who sang it, so I wasn't able to pull it up.
So many different people.
I guess there have been. Mm-hmm. So, because money is one of those things that there's.
I think
even
the Beatles did a version of that.
Really?
Yeah, you've heard of the Beatles, right?
I haven't, Zach.
Little British.
Just a little bit of.
Not a big deal.
On that note, in terms of with relationships, and we're talking a little bit and before the show in terms of the green room, you were talking about in terms of a date and the cost of the date, and you were telling me that you had an interesting story or in some stats.
Oh, yeah. I was on Nerve.com, which is mm-hmm. is a great website, and they did an article where they followed, 8 people or 9 people for a month, and they had them calculate every penny they spent towards on sex, but really towards the pursuit of sexual gratification. So could be the $1.50 it cost in gas to drive over to his house, or it could be I had a date coming up, so I went to the spa because I wanted to feel or I got waxed or whatever it is. And the range of, they had some people that were in relationships, some people that were not, some people mm-hmm. that were very active daters, some people that weren't. Men and women, and the range over 1 month was at the low end was $100 a month. The high end was just under $1,000 a month on sex.
That makes sense to me, though. Mm-hmm. It really does. I think it's probably going down, especially for women these days, with things like being able to. Well, we're doing clothing swaps, for example, instead of going mm-hmm. out and spending out, buying mm-hmm. outfits. Whereas before, if I had a really hot date, I thought nothing of going out and dropping a couple $100 to buy a new outfit.
Right.
So it was something that would make me feel really good about myself. Now I just go and raid my girlfriend's closets.
Well, you don't need that kind of money to
look
date.
Good.
I mean, to attract the opposite sex. When you have these skills down, when you know that being around you is what's going to turn the other person on. You don't need to go buy new clothes every time you have a date. You know, you don't need to pay for a fancy dinner, which we're talking about. And all these things become less important. And then if you combine that with these, you know, low-cost dates, you know, when I first started studying, you know, the art of attraction, I wasn't as concerned with keeping my dates low-cost. I remember reading that it was a factor, but it's because I would go on a date once every, you know, twice a year, if that, right? So I didn't mind spending $100, $150, you know, going out to eat and I'd you know, get a new shirt or something like that. But if you're really serious about finding somebody, you know, you might have to go on a few dates. You might have to meet a few women, meet a few different men before you find that person that you're wanting to settle down with. So for that reason, you want to keep it low cost. And it's funny because I think when we're really excited about somebody, we don't mind spending that money. I don't know if you've experienced this, but a lot of guys have experienced where they say they're really excited in this, so they go out to dinner and then they know within 5 or 10 minutes that this is not going well. And all of a sudden they're not as excited about paying the bill, right? So yeah, making those first dates low cost and realizing that for men, a woman should want to hang out with you because you're a blast, you know, because she wants to hang out with you, not because she's getting a free meal.
Well, a woman shouldn't be doing that anyway. And I'm hoping with the recession, in terms of, especially for long-term relationships, or if you've been with for somebody for a while, that just with cost cutting, because I think a lot of couples, not all couples, but many will probably be reexamining their budgets at about this time and having those discussions that, as you were saying before the break, aren't necessarily the easiest things to talk about money, but they're really important. So I think one silver lining is all the gold diggers might be finding a new home, perhaps, because if they're not able to stick it out, because they'll have to reexamine why they're actually with somebody. Are they there for the cash and the comfortable lifestyle, or are they actually there because they genuinely care about this person and they value their friendship and their life together in all those different ways?
Yeah, that brings up an interesting point, because often, you know, when you're in a relationship with somebody, we were talking about the recession because a lot of jobs have been lost, right?
Yes.
And let's say there's a man and a woman in a relationship and the man, you know, for example, loses his job, right? What often happens there is the woman will actually lose attraction for the man. And it's not because she's a gold digger, because she's just in it for the money. It's because
his self-esteem.
His self-esteem, his sense of purpose, and his sense of his own value as a person and as a mate has gone down. And it's created an imbalance in the relationship.
That is a very valid point as well.
Yeah, and the point I want to make is that it's not her fault for losing attraction. And it doesn't mean that she's a shallow person and that the man needs to find ways, whether it's getting another job or you know, I think it's more important for women that the guy has a purpose, has a reason to get out of bed in the morning than it is that he's making 6-7 figures.
No, I definitely agree. And I know there was one study that... I'm just trying to remember who wrote that book. Dr. Kevin Lehman, who had actually wrote 7 things that he'll never tell you. And one of them was the fact that a man needs to feel respected. And if he's not feeling respect, so, and that includes self-respect as well.
It starts with self-respect.
It does. That things do fall apart in terms of relationship, which makes sense because it's that whole saying, if you don't love yourself, how can you expect anybody else to love you?
Yeah.
Which my whole thing with that is it's not necessarily that. It's just you may not believe anybody else can possibly love you.
And that's not an easy thing an easy shift to make. It doesn't come overnight, but it does come through. Well, it really comes through, I think, improving your attraction skills and having some good experiences, right?
Definitely.
When I was younger, I had a hard time, you know, believing that women were interested in me because, quite honestly, for a long period of time, they weren't. You know, there's, you know, some certainly were, but not the quantity or quality of woman that I was interested in.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't just shift my mindset and say, well, I'm a really attractive guy now. I had to fake it a little bit. I had to put on, you know, I had to learn some ways of behaving that were going to portray confidence. I had to curb some of those more insecure behaviors. And then I started getting results. And that's what changes your beliefs, right?
So
not just repeating it to yourself in the mirror over and over again, that's not something that's particularly effective.
No, but I think believing it definitely is. What would you recommend for couples that are going through that where one partner has lost their job? Just seeing if they can find a counselor of some sort or some
support. Always a good idea. However, if all of a sudden you've lost half or more of your income, you know, going to counseling is not always an option. But I think recognizing the stage that you're at, right, and recognizing that it will pass, right? And I think for the woman to be encouraging, right? Because the last thing he needs is more nagging to go out and get a job and that sort of thing. So, you know, the reason why we make a commitment in a relationship or in a marriage is because we do fluctuate with our value, you know, what we're bringing to the relationship. And, you know, one day, one spouse, one, you know, the husband might have more value. And then because life circumstances change, then the woman has more value. They kind of flip-flop back and forth. This is something which gets into in quite a bit of detail in a book called The Passion Paradox by Dellis. And it's a fantastic book. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's out of print, which I don't understand why. I really think it should be standard reading for anybody who's ever been in, wants to be in, or currently in a relationship. It really explains how these dynamics affect our attraction for each other. And it's not necessarily about the person, it's about the dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if they are in a relationship, I guess it's one of the key things in terms of the recession right now is to try as much as we can not to let it get us down and just coming up with creative ideas to make things work. Like things like, for example, if it's a birthday, perhaps making each other presents. I was actually speaking to a couple that had been together for over 25 years the other day, and I asked them, not in terms of with this show in particular, but just asked them what was their secret, what did they find helped them a lot. And one of the things they said to me, what I thought was interesting, was they said that they didn't really focus in terms of Valentine's Day and things like that, but each day they took it as like if they saw something nice, they'd actually get it for them. Mm-hmm. They'd write them a little poem. It was about appreciating each other each day. So instead of like spending like a gazillion dollars on like a dinner because it's an anniversary or something like that.
A gazillion dollar dinner on an anniversary is definitely
I love your sarcasm. But you know what I mean? It's just like just taking care of each other and just finding different ways all through 365 days of the year, whether it be writing somebody a poem, whether it could be as simple as taking the garbage out for some couples, or, you know, just doing things that just really matter and just finding different ways to please your partner in those types of ways, perhaps sitting down and coming up with those. But as well, there is ways besides communication, which communication is key, sitting down and figuring those things out, but also being a little bit more creative, perhaps. And
romance is really about attention and effort.
Definitely.
And much less about, you know, the money you're spending. And what you mentioned about this couple is that, you know, and I've known couples like this as well, I think it's kind of a cool thing where you just let Valentine's Day go by. It's just another day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in the middle of April, if you're thinking about them, then you show up with flowers or something like that. That has a lot more impact.
Definitely.
The other thing that's important for romance, I think, is variety and surprise. Right?
Are we talking about opening up a relationship, or what are we referring
to
in terms
about,
of variety?
I'm talking about if it's flowers, you know.
Getting roses.
Yeah, or it being a regular thing, right, where it becomes expected.
So every Friday, for example, bringing flowers home, for example, and like, hi, honey. You know, unless it's for the household, because, you know, if you're the flower bearer, that you actually enjoy having the flowers at the home.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily about the romance. And then pick something else that's romantic where that's your gift to your partner.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing that couples run into, and I talked to a lot of people this Valentine's Day that we're talking about this, that they set the bar for these occasions very, very high and then feel like they need to live up to it or supersede it every year, right? So let's say it's your first, you've been dating for 4 months and it's Valentine's Day and you, you know, I don't know, you send, like, you know, 12 dozen roses to her work, and you, you know, are there waiting for when she comes home, and the place is filled with candles, and you're serenading her, and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Next Valentine's Day is going to be tough, you know, because because her expectation is going to be up there, right? So let's say next Valentine's Day, you do something even better. Let's say 6-7 years go by. You know, you can't sustain something like that, and then all of a sudden you don't do anything, and it's gonna, she's gonna feel,
oh, she's gonna feel terrible.
She's gonna feel terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess the message that I'm giving is don't set the bar too high with your romantic gestures, but also don't, if you do it on a Valentine's Day, then it creates that expectation, right? But if you did that at any other time,
just because
then you don't have to do it, you know, you do something else, you know, a couple years later.
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's more spontaneous. She doesn't ever have that expectation that, oh boy, here comes the day, what's he gonna have in store. And, you know, the way our brains work, the reward circuit and the punishment circuit's based on our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll actually get, you know, if you're surprised in a positive way, you'll actually get a hit of dopamine that makes you feel good, if you're surprised in a negative way. So, you know, I could give you a check right now for, you know, $1,000, and you'd probably be pretty happy about it. But if I'd been talking all week about giving you a check for $5,000, when I gave you that check, you'd actually feel disappointed.
I'd feel pretty disappointed.
You would, right?
It's the same event. Human nature.
It's the same event, but the expectation that you've put on it
is much higher. It's kind of like having Valentine's Day, where I was expecting to get engaged, and I end up getting a box of chocolates instead.
That happened to you?
No, but I'd be upset if that did happen to me.
Unless it was really good chocolates.
Oh, I'd have to be very orgasmic chocolate, which apparently chocolate does create the same endorphins in the brain for a woman, so it makes them feel like it's the same type of thing that you'd feel in as an orgasm.
Quite the same.
No, I agree with you.
There are some similar chemicals that are released.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's not, it'd be like being vegetarian, actually, if I just basically lived off chocolate for a year instead of having sex or orgasms. And then once you have it, it'd be like eating meat again, because I am a carnivore. But I was just thinking, in terms of to wrap the show up, we should talk about a few things, just in terms of some ideas for couples that have been together in long term, just to spice up their relationship perhaps and create some intimacy and some fun. And when I say intimacy, not just on an emotional level, which of course is really, really key by sitting down and listening and asking your partner what you like, but
mm-hmm.
I put together a few ideas, and I know you have too.
Sure. So what is this? This is increasing intimacy for couples that have been together for a long period of time.
Yeah, where they just don't feel that there's a lot of romance and stuff. So instead of, okay, honey, we're, you know, sitting down and having that talk, we've got our budget, and okay, Zach, we're not going to be able to go out anymore, like, you know, on Friday nights, like our ritual that we go out and we, you know, go out to a different restaurant every night.
Right.
You know, unless we're getting an entertainment book and we can afford to keep the lifestyle that way. But, you know, we're going to have to eat in more. And instead of, oh God, Caroline, you can't cook, you know, I'm going to die, coming up with some really cool creative things, like maybe eating in where it's, you know, candles, making dinner together and having some fun, where you can play with a lot with that. So if you've got a partner who can't cook, it could be playing a little bit of teacher and student in the kitchen. So you're combining your role playing, which could be very fun. Just my one thing I want to mention is make sure that the stove cools down before you burn your libido out, or otherwise something else could be on fire.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there are lots of fun things to do at home. You could have a picnic at home. You could put a blanket down on the ground, and then, but it's really about your creativity. I mean, we can give you lots of ideas. Oh, building a fort is great fun. Out of
couch cushions. The fort.
Yeah. Did you see here? Did you hear in her voice how she melted when I said build a fort? It's a lot. Forts are fun.
It's
about being a kid and being playful. But what you were talking about was romance in a relationship. And I think the key element is what we were just talking about, which is surprise.
Yeah.
Right? Do something unexpected. Do something out of character. And
or if you are going to do it as a surprise, you could create some anticipation where it's like, okay, we're going to be eating in tonight, and I'm actually making something really special for you. And then they might come home, and I could be wearing, I don't know, like a French maid outfit or something like that in the kitchen. It's like, hi, honey, I'm home. And which creates a completely different aspect in terms of stuff, where there's more on the table, in other words, than just the food.
Wow.
Which could be pretty hot.
Yeah, it could be.
And I'm not just talking about the stove.
Well, you know, we're talking right now about people that have been in a relationship for a while, mm-hmm. and I just want to be clear that romance doesn't create attraction, but it does enhance it, right? Because a lot of the people that I'm working with are in the early stages of dating, right? Mm-hmm. Or they've just met somebody. So showing up with flowers on a first date or, you know, lighting a lot of candles and doing all this stuff, that doesn't create attraction. Only in the movies does that create attraction. But in real life, you know, you need to create attraction in other ways. Once there is attraction and once you've bonded with the person, then romance enhances attraction. And here's what I think it is. I mean, I think at the beginning, you're so hopped up on the chemicals you feel from being around this person mm-hmm. that you'll do anything for them, right? You're willing to do all those things.
Well, you want to be liked and approved.
Exactly. You have an agenda. You want something in exchange. Yeah. And you may not even be aware of it because it feels
good,
selfless. Yeah, it feels fun to do all those things for someone you're excited about having sex with or being in a relationship with. Mm-hmm. But it does have that expectation with it. Later on in a relationship, when you don't need to do those things, that's when they become sexy. That's when they become romantic.
Yes.
You know, I had Devin and another instructor at Social Fluency, my business partner over there, once cleaned his girlfriend's apartment for Valentine's Day.
I've had that done for me, and I was very joyous about that, actually.
Yeah.
And it made me very happy.
It was a very loving thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something like that is if it's not something that happens all the time, that's going to have a lot more impact than...
And again, you need to be able to read your partner, too, because some people will appreciate that a lot. Other people, it's like, what are you doing looking through my stuff, you stalker? So it's got to be really important just taking care of that. Well, I am very, very glad we had you on the show, Mr. Zach.
Yes, the time has flown by as usual.
It always does, we're going to have you on again.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I might have you on standby because I will not be here next week. I'll be in Toronto, and mm-hmm. I fly back on the 8th, and I might possibly have a show that night. It depends on because Marion has offered to come in for me early. So
okay, great.
But if it does turn out, we may need to talk about that because it may be an impromptu show. May I be calling you from the airport saying, guess what? I got home on time.
That could be fun. If I could just plug my company one more time.
Yes, please.
That would be great.
I would love that.
Socialfluency.com. And we focus on, right now we focus on men who want to learn to meet and attract women, but we do teach general social skills, said assertiveness, high status humor, you know, things like that, how body language, how to use your voice, things like that. And, we actually have a free event coming up on April 2nd.
April 2nd. I'm not even going to be here for it, but I'm not a guy, so I can't really go, can I?
It's a workshop where we're going to be sharing with guys, you know, some of the things they can do to start, you know, becoming that man that women are craving.
Well, so, they have to be themselves.
Go to our website. You can find out more information about it there. You can give us a call. You can send me an email, Zach. That's ZACH at socialfluency.com. And thanks again, Carolyn, for having me on the show.
Well, I think if I was a guy, I'd really want to come to your workshop. I want to come anyway, but...
We will have one for women at some point.
So all right. Then
if
you'll
women
have to
are
have
interested,
me there.
Please contact me and let me know. We'll put you on the list and let you know when we're doing that.
And this man has a lot of really great advice to give as women. And I can honestly say that because last summer you gave me some advice about a personal situation, which I actually used word for word, and it worked very, very well, where it was the... I just trying to remember exactly what you said. I'd have to actually look through my notes, but I actually had it on a piece of paper and I actually said it word for word, and it worked very, very well.
Well, the thing is, Caroline, I've made all the mistakes, right? I went out there and tried everything, so I know what works and what doesn't work. So if I've given you some word for word thing to say, I know it works, right?
Yes, and it did. And good. I have actually recommended that to other people. So, but I have given you credit for it, even though you wrote it out on
not
Facebook
in the
chat.
Moment, I hope.
No, definitely not in the moment. That'd be very highly entertaining. Well, we will be back, not next week, but perhaps the week after that, and if not, on the 15th of April, at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Up next is Hans von Klaus's Misery Hour, because Marianne, who has the sexy shoes that I haven't even had a chance to look at tonight, is a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. So he may be coming in a little earlier, so get a little bit of misery next week. And I look forward to hearing from you. You've listened to Sexy in Van City Radio, and we will be back soon. Breathe. Dirty.